So guess what? After years of putting it off, I finally decided to start a podcast. Welcome everybody. For those of you who decided to click and for those of you who will continue to listen, I am so happy to have you. I am Ebony, and once again you're listening to Ebony's Escape. And this podcast is not centered around any one thing. It is my escape. This is where I will come on and talk about the things that matter to me, even the things that don't matter to me. Just talk, express myself. And though it's not about getting an audience, but more so about me, I hope that for those of you who do choose to listen, you may benefit and even join in the conversations that I will have. So today I am going to be talking about something that has been on my mind for a while now. I've learned a lot based on my own readings and reflections and meditation, and I am going to go ahead and share that with you. Let me also let you know that you can feel free to leave a voice message, whether it's a question or a comment that you want to pose. You can do that, and I can address the question or comment in my next podcast, or even play your voice note in that podcast. Yeah. So, with all of that said, let us get started. And here I am thinking now, oh my goodness, I'm such a perfectionist and I want everything to be perfect. But this is not about being perfect. This is not about getting everything right. It is just about starting. It is just about starting. As Toba Beta, I think his name is, in his book Master of Stupidity, he says something that I find very, very interesting, and it really helped me too to just get started with this. He says, if you violate laws of God, you're a sinner. If you violate laws of men, you're a criminal. If you violate your own laws, you're pathetic. And I don't want to be pathetic, you know? I don't want to be pathetic. So I'm just getting this thing started, and let us see where it goes. So let us jump into today's topic. All right, so today we are going to be talking about life. More specifically, life is a game. Now, my reason for talking about life, I mean, come on, why not talk about life? Life really has been very challenging for me of late. And when we look around, there are so many persons who appear as if they have everything put together. They are organized and they're living their dreams and they have things figured out. While there are some of us who, not so much, quite confused. Now, the funny thing is, for those persons who know me, I may appear to be one of those persons who, you know, I have everything sorted out. I'm so organized. I'm so driven. And things are just going well and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But let me tell you, that is very, very much far from the truth. Just like everybody else, I have my very low moments. As a matter of fact, as I'm making this podcast, I am at the lowest I've ever been in a while. And later on, I'll talk about that. But nonetheless, let's talk about life and what exactly is this whole thing about. Now, I chose the topic Life is a Game based on a book that I've been reading, The Game of Life and How to Play It. And this book is written by Florence Scovel Shinn. I believe her name is pronounced Florence Scovel Shinn, 1871-1940. Now, this woman, I think she has a whole lot. She has a whole lot to say. If you've ever read her books or some of her quotes and so on, she has been considered to be one of those new thought thinkers and so on. I don't know. Basically, you can do some reading, some readings on her, Florence Scovel Shinn. And once again, the book The Game of Life and How to Play It. Now, this is such an interesting book. I am not yet finished reading it. As a matter of fact, I'm reading as well as listening to the audiobook. And there are 10 chapters. And the chapters are like this. Like chapter 1 is called The Game. Chapter 2, The Law of Prosperity. Chapter 3, The Power of the Word. 4, The Law of Non-Resistance, and so on. And it goes on to talk about like perfect self-expression or the divine desire and stuff like that. Now, pretty much the book is about the fact that life in itself is a game, and we are in charge of the things that happen to us. Basically, we have the power to create the life that we want, and it's so interesting. What I'm going to be doing, I'm going to be reading some excerpts, and then I'll just share my thoughts on this. So it says, most people consider life a battle, but it is not a battle. It is a game. Interesting. It is a game, however, which cannot be played successfully without the knowledge of spiritual law, and the Old and New Testaments give the rules of the game with wonderful clearness. Jesus Christ taught that it was a great game of giving and receiving. And she quotes from the Bible here, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. This means that whatever man sends out in word or deed will return to him. What he gives, he will receive. If he gives hate, he will receive hate. If he gives love, he will receive love. If he gives criticism, he will receive criticism. If he lies, he will be lied to. If he cheats, he will be cheated. We are taught also that the imaging faculty plays a leading part in the game of life. And she quotes here from Proverbs 4, verse 23, keep thy heart, in brackets, or imagination, with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Yes, so she continues, this means that what man images sooner or later externalizes in his affairs. I know of a man who feared a certain disease. It was a very rare disease and difficult to get, but he pictured it continually and read about it until it manifested in his body and he died, the victim of distorted imagination. So we see, to play successfully the game of life, we must train the imaging faculty. A person with an imaging faculty trained to image only good brings into his life every righteous desire of his heart, health, wealth, love, friends, perfect self-expression, his highest ideals. The imagination has been called the scissors of the mind, and it is ever cutting day by day the pictures man sees there, and sooner or later he meets his own creations in his outer world. To train the imagination successfully, man must understand the workings of his mind. The Greeks said, know thyself. All right, so I'm going to stop there for now, and yes, I must say that I agree. I agree that, one, whatever your mind conceives, you believe, you achieve. We've heard that over and over again. And for those persons who even speak of the law of attraction, yes, it ties in with that, and it also ties in with, you know, the scriptures that she quoted. So it's very, very important for us to get our minds clear and to visualize the life that we want and to plan in accordance with what we visualize. Trust me, I know that to train your mind and your subconscious is extremely hard. I am a victim of my own mind. That's the reality. I'm a victim of my own mind, and sometimes even right now I suffer and I battle daily to not be enemies with my mind, but to be more so friends with my mind. Now, as much as this is true, and I agree with what Shin says here, I also want to put it out there that it is extremely difficult. Now, I realize that you have a lot of individuals now who are coming out as motivational speakers, and this whole thing of the law of attraction is catching on. And they make it seem like, oh, you know, it should be so easy. You create your vision boards and you visualize and you see yourself doing something and then it will happen. It doesn't quite work like that. A lot of times we have life to deal with and it is very challenging. And one of the challenges that I face, and I don't know how many of you face it, is really, how do I counter the negative thoughts? How do I counter the anxiety and the depression that are very, very much real and that hinder me from living my best life or living fully? How do I push myself through all the negativity and just live the life that I've always dreamt of? It is difficult. It is challenging. It is extremely challenging when you're trying to do one thing and you're trying to focus on one thing and then your mind is telling you other things. Your mind is filling you up with all these negative thoughts. Thoughts that it's as if you don't have any control of. They are intrusive and they can be so, so crippling. It is very difficult. It is very, very difficult. And I guess if life really were a game, then we have to try and practice the rules, right? I don't know. But right now, it is so challenging. There's this other book that I'm reading, and this is a book, I've had it for a while, and I read from time to time different chapters of it. Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, and this is by Richard Carlson. And chapter 67, well, the book that I have is The Omnibus. It has three books in one. Very interesting. So I'm reading from chapter 67 of Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. And the title of this is Practice Ignoring Your Negative Thoughts. Wow. Now he says, it has been estimated that the average human being has around 50,000 thoughts per day. And I think I have like a million thoughts per day, to be honest. Well, in any case, 50,000 thoughts per day. That's a lot of thoughts. Some of these thoughts are going to be positive and productive. Unfortunately, however, many of them are also going to be negative, angry, fearful, pessimistic, worrisome. And I think that's where I'm at right now. The angry, fearful, pessimistic, worrisome thoughts. So difficult. Indeed, the important question in terms of becoming more peaceful isn't whether or not you're going to have negative thoughts, which you are, it's what you choose to do with the ones that you have. In a practical sense, you really have only two options when it comes to dealing with negative thoughts. You can analyze your thoughts, ponder, think through, study, think some more, or you can learn to ignore them, dismiss, pay less attention to, not take so seriously. The latter option, learning to take your negative thoughts less seriously, is infinitely more effective in terms of learning to be more peaceful. When you have a thought, any thought, that's all it is, a thought. It can't hurt you without your consent. And I particularly love this part of it because we always say that it's easier said than done. And I know that it's easier said than done, especially in my case when I get a series of negative thoughts and I try to block them, but then my body starts reacting, you know? My body starts reacting and I'm having these physical manifestations. It's like, how can you then tell your brain that this isn't real? But the point that says that your thought is just a thought, it really stands out to me. Your thought is just a thought. It can't hurt you without your consent. So for example, if you have a thought about your past, I'm upset because my parents didn't do a very good job, you can get into it, as many do, which will create inner turmoil for you. You can give the thought significance in your mind, or you'll convince yourself that you should indeed be unhappy. Or you can recognize that your mind is about to create a mental snowball and you can choose to dismiss the thought. This doesn't mean your childhood wasn't difficult. It may very well have been. But in this present moment, you have a choice of which thoughts to pay attention to. Now, I'm going to stop here because that is true. But once again, it's not that simple. And one of the things, or one of the techniques that I'm currently practicing, is whenever I get a thought or a series, and most recently, it's been a case in which I have a series of negative thoughts, like constant ruminating, it is unbearable. Like, you have no idea. But what I try to do, I try to replace the negative thought or thoughts with a positive thought or thoughts. So a negative thought pops up, I try to override it with positive thoughts. If I get one negative thought, I probably override it with 2-3 positive thoughts. And just to constantly remind myself that, listen, it's just a thought, or these are just thoughts. They're not real. They're not real. Now, what I want to hear from you, what is it like for you? Do you struggle with negativity, negative thinking? Are you crippled by your own thoughts? And how do you, or are you, a victim of your own mind? I know that I am, and this is something I'm struggling with. Are you facing a similar thing, and what is it like? I want to talk some more about that. And for those of you who do choose to listen, I'd love to hear from your end. In the next podcast, yes, I'm at the end. I really want to keep this under 20 minutes. Yes, but in the next podcast, I'm going to be talking about more so the mental side of our health, because not many persons give mental health the level of attention that it needs. So for those of you who struggle with your own mental health, whatever the case may be, I want to hear from you, and that's what I'm going to be talking about in the next podcast. So thank you so much for those of you who bore through with me to the end. I appreciate you listening, and I hope that you will comment, share, say something, make a comment, whatever the case is. I want to hear from you. But in any case, even if I don't hear from you, I am still going to be moving on with the other things I want to talk about. And I really want this space to be one of comfort, relaxation, just wholesome, healthy, and free from negativity. It's really an outlet for me, and I hope that it can also be an outlet for you. Once again, this is Ebony's Escape. I am Ebony. I'm a real person, and I want to talk to real people. Do continue to enjoy the rest of your day, and see you in the next one. You have just listened to Ebony's Escape. If you want to learn more about me, please feel free to visit my website at www.ebonyesescape.com.